throughout all of human history, the episode numbers of The Empty Bowl have had either one or two digits. This is the final episode with two digits. Sometimes little milestones like that can seem very meaningful. But I think the important thing is that rather than rush ahead to 100, we stay here and enjoy 99 for just a moment. There we go. Hi. Welcome to The Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. I am your co-host, Justin McElroy.
Are you a cereal enthusiast as well?
Oh, I never, you know what? New year, new me. I am indeed still a cereal enthusiast.
And my name's Dan Goubert, and I am a cereal news and review farmer. And it ain't much, but it's honestly tasty work.
And Dan has heroically scraped together a bounty for us, the cereal fans over here. This is going to be a meditative podcast about cereal. And what does that mean? Well, it means that for the next 30 minutes or so, we ask that you just relax and allow yourself to think just about cereal. It won't change much, and that's the idea. It's just to give you a little break and to stay abreast of all the latest and greatest in the world of cereal news. We'll have some reviews as well, and we'll do our cereal countdowns. America has waited long enough, and we're going to find out the answers. But first, Dan, cereal news, what do we think?
Yeah, so this was an unexpected one.
Oh, yeah, this hit me big.
They're bringing back an 80s cereal classic, and yeah, they're doing it with the full original branding, more or less, and that is S'mores Crunch cereal, which is now coming back as Golden Grahams S'mores, and it basically has the exact same box that it did in the 80s, with the same sort of cartoon graham cracker chocolate marshmallow on a skewer combo, the same big, bubbly, cartoonish font, and this nice toasted orange box that is very pleasant to look at. I think I'm glad they really went all out, and I believe they even replicated the same back of the box.
It's really great fan service. I mean, and this thing looks like you're traveling through time, which a lot of times people will mess that up, right? You're going to do the nostalgia thing, but you only go halfway with it. No, this is just the classic, it looks like, from the outside at least.
Yeah, I mean, they did change the construction of the cereal a little bit. Well, I mean, it's pretty similar, where the original only had chocolate graham pieces and marshmallows, and now you seem to have sort of an intermingling of regular Golden Grahams squares with these chocolate graham squares as well, which I'm extremely excited to try what these chocolate graham squares will taste like, because... Mm-hmm. You know, outside of S'mores Crunch back 40 years ago now, the only other one to really try something like that was Kellogg's S'mores cereal that did the chocolate graham pieces as well. And, you know,
Puffy ones?
Yeah, they were very thick and chunky and dense and pretty good. But, you know, nothing beats the classical Golden Grahams construction. Golden Grahams being a cereal brand that extremely rarely gets any variation at all, so this is definitely like a landmark moment to see a new Golden Grahams piece. And it is nice that because Golden Grahams doesn't really have a defined mascot or aesthetic, that they can, you know, totally mold the box to this way and make it totally S'mores Crunch branded. I just wish they would bring back the short-lived S'morserer mascot, because he has the best name of any mascot who ever lived. And I can't understand how he was so short-lived.
There's a lot of worse mascots that have had a much longer time with their hand at the till. I'll certainly say that. The hand at the rudder. What about these peeps over here, Dan? This is a weird one. This is a weird... We haven't seen this... Maybe this is the flavor of 2024.
Yeah, so these are new upcoming peeps that are flavored like Rice Krispies treats. I think the word flavored is going to be doing a lot of heavy lifting here, because when I first saw them, I vividly imagined biting into a peep and getting like actual crackled Rice Krispies inside of it to have that really fascinating mouthfeel that's kind of like you are eating this mega marshmallowy Rice Krispies treat. But the more I think about it and what the implication of Rice Krispies treats flavored actually means, I'm not sure they necessarily went to that length. I don't even know if the anatomy of a peep chick could handle that sort of constructional variance. But besides that, I'm not really sure what effect that might have on the flavor of a peep. A peep being something that already tastes essentially like marshmallow. Maybe there'll be an additional roasted element here, or maybe there will be something inside. I mean, we only have a look at the packaging so far, so the true mystery of their innards remains unsolved.
It's funny, I feel like the Rice Krispie treat flavor is just marshmallow, right?
Yeah, basically. I mean, there's some like brown butteriness going on to some extent.
Yeah, if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, but I think the Rice Krispies treat, as its appeal is primarily textural in addition to the flavors, so
yeah,
we'll see.
Any other news, Dan? Anything else to bring people's attention to?
Well, we've got one more low-hanging fruit here with new Dragon Ball Z X Reese's Puffs collab, which is just a box of Reese's Puffs with Goku from Dragon Ball Z, really big on the box. And it's interesting to see, I guess at the very least, like the race to the bottom for promotional tie-ins, where like you used to get these really involved, like licensed cereals. And then, you know, obviously the standard recently has been to just do a pretty boring fruity or oats and marshmallows cereal that has the stuff on the box, and now they're kind of just figuring that they can just slap a really big character image on a box of cereal that people already like.
Right.
And it'll sell all that much more. Which, I mean, I'm not necessarily entirely opposed to, because I'd rather have Reese's Puffs Dragon Ball, or Dragon Ball Z Reese's Puffs being a good cereal versus just like, you know, another vanilla or birthday cake cereal. But I don't know if this is like heralding the end of special tie-in cereals as we know it, which would be a little sad.
Wonder why Reese's Puffs is the one that seems to get this, like, this treatment. I wonder what the hook was there.
Yeah, I think Reese's Puffs tries to bill itself as, like, being super hip and modern. Like, they're always doing, like, the limited edition boxes with, like, celebrities and rappers and stuff like that. So I think ever since they had that Reese's Puff rap, they've just really been saying, okay, we're going to be the hip, cool cereal and just roll with that. That's my theory, at least. It does
seem very trendy. Seems very, very now, very today. In terms of cereals that are currently available, Dan, have you snagged anything new?
Yeah, I tried a couple of them. I got both of these Cheerios Blends cereals, being the Cheerios that boldly pair fruit and vegetable ingredients in the same cereal. So these come in both apple strawberry and blueberry banana. And I think the first thing I'll say is that there's no chance of you tasting anything even remotely vegetable related in these cereals.
Okay.
It's very much just the case of like trick your kids into eating a minuscule amount of vegetable per serving without them having any idea. So, despite the box saying that they include spinach, carrot, and sweet potato in their ingredient lists, I didn't taste any of that at all.
I guess it's probably by design, right? Because the idea is you trick your kids into eating it, but us with the mature flavor palates, we were maybe hoping for a little bit more of that sweet potato flavor.
Yeah, on this cartoonish, like, childish box, we were somehow hoping for some next-level gastronomy going on here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what is notable from the start is that, and I don't want to be, like, a doomer about this, but this is a corn and oat-based Cheerios cereal, which, you know, we see that with Lucky Charms. We're going to see that with a Lucky Charms later in this same segment where they switched to a corn base for their limited edition variants, and I'm really hoping this is not the start of a trend for Cheerios. Also, Cheerios being literally a cereal defined by its oatiness.
Yeah, it used to be called Cheerios.
Yeah. I wouldn't say the corn blend really affects the flavor here. I did notice texturally it was a little bit grainier and had a little bit of that like mealiness at the end of every bite.
So they're corn pieces and oat pieces, or is it a blend of the two?
It's a blend. It's still one piece, but it's all blended together. I don't know. Maybe that had something to do with kneading corn to bind in the vegetables as well. Or maybe they just wanted to get an extra vegetable in the ingredient list if you can really count corn. But flavor-wise, I think the apple strawberry one is genuinely really good. I like it a lot. It's you know, obviously you have apple cinnamon Cheerios, and strawberry Cheerios are a hit as well. And I think this really brings the best of those worlds together. It's a nice, smooth, subtly sweet, and just outright pleasant fruit flavor that is unique for Cheerios, and I think unique for the cereal aisle. The blueberry banana one, a little bit less appealing, I would say. The balance between the flavors is not as carefully curated. I didn't really get any banana at all, honestly, because the blueberry is really, really sharp here. And it's a very like authentic tart blueberry also. You got a bit of tartness from the apple as well in the other one, but here it's much less sweet, I would say. I do like blueberry cereals a lot when it's like a blueberry muffin toasters. That really sweetens it up. But when it's just blueberry flavor like this, it kind of swallows out any of the banana. And, you know, without that extra sweetness, I think it's a bit more forgettable. So if you want the latest and greatest in Cheerios innovation, I'd say the apple strawberry one is worth your time.
Any other products you tried, Dan?
So speaking of Reese's Puffs, I did also acquire the new Peanut Butter Lovers edition of Reese's Puffs, which completely strips the chocolate puffs out of the equation, only leaving behind the peanut butter puffs. And, I mean, first off, it did kind of reveal to me how little I feel the chocolate pieces actually contribute to Reese's Puffs at all. Like, you know, your standard issue Reese's Puffs, that is, where it does seem like the flavors just get melded together. And I guess I was never even really confident that the two colors of Reese's Puffs were distinctly flavored. Mm-hmm. I'm still not even entirely sure. This could be
interesting to do some A/B testing on that.
Yeah, this could be a totally independent formulation for all I know. But it was interesting to put this head-to-head, mentally speaking at least, with Cap'n Crunch's Peanut Butter Crunch, that being the, you know, the major player in the puffed peanut butter cereal game. And I think both cereals, it's hard to say which one's better because both have pluses and minuses. I think Cap'n Crunch's Peanut Butter Crunch honestly has the better peanut butter flavor at heart. It's a bit stronger, it's a bit saltier. Whereas the peanut butter here in the Peanut Butter Lovers Reese's Puffs is a lot tamer, more straightforwardly creamy and sweet versus having any particular nutty nuance. What I do like about the Reese's Puffs better than the Cap'n Crunch, though, is the smaller puff size, which lends to a bigger surface area of flavor and therefore like more flavor per mouthful, at least.
Okay.
So you get a better flavor from Cap'n Crunch, but you get more of a pretty good flavor from the peanut butter Reese's Puffs. Which is a difficult balance to strike when you're just in the cereal aisle and you don't necessarily want to think about this cost-benefit analysis in terms of your peanut butter cereal, which ultimately I feel doesn't really matter because neither Peanut Butter Lovers Reese's Puffs nor Peanut Butter Crunch are the best peanut butter cereals, in my opinion. I would say if you want a peanut butter cereal, either go for Peanut Butter Puffins or go for the Peanut Butter Kashi. Because both of those, I feel, have way better authentic and more potent peanut butter flavor, as well as much better base grains, being much crunchier and heartier and less corny like the other two. So it's a tough world out there for mainstream peanut butter cereals to compete with the indie darlings. Not that Kashi's particularly independent, but
yeah. Any other reviews, Dan? I'm really excited about this next one now that I see.
I don't know if you necessarily should be.
Oh, no, Dan. Barry, I'm such a sucker.
Yeah, Barry Swirl Lucky Charms don't really do it for me. It's basically okay. like a slightly elevated Boo Berry or Frankenberry in that it's a corn-based cereal with marshmallows and a very generic fruit flavor that does not obviously speak to any particular fruit. It's all just kind of swirled together, much like the marshmallows, which kind of the main gimmick was that these berry swirl marshmallows would taste like berry in itself. But I feel that with the giant preponderance of berry, like Lucky Charms pieces, it's very indistinct. And, you know, even if they weren't flavored, that flavor from the main pieces would probably bleed on to the marshmallows anyway. I do say slightly elevated over Boo Berry just because, again, same thing with the Reese's Puffs, where these Lucky Charms pieces are much smaller than the really big puffed monster cereal ghost pieces.
Right.
So with these, you're getting more of that external flavor surface area versus the sort of bland corn puffed grain. So I think the flavor balance is better here, but you know, when you compare it to every other berry flavored cereal out there, I don't even say this would stack up to something like a Trix, which I think is much more articulate in the citrusy fruit direction that it wants to go. So
wow.
I just don't think that Berry Swirl is really standing out.
Is this the first time you've used articulate to describe a flavor? Because I think it's such a perfect way of highlighting how you get a distinct, like specific fruit flavor versus just a generic fruitiness.
Yeah, I like a fruit flavor that knows what it wants out of life. It's not afraid to say, this is what I'm here for, this is what I'm doing, and this is what you're going to taste.
It's sort of like those tropical Fruit Loops. We're not afraid to bring that note of, man, I could go for some of those. I don't even know if Mexico has them anymore. Okay, so this is what people have been waiting for. This is what I've been waiting for. This is what you've been waiting for, Dan. We are going to look back at 2023 with our top five and bottom five cereals.
Yeah, I mean, when I went into this and I went back through every episode that we did this year to see everything that we reviewed, like going into it, I couldn't think of what the best cereals of the year were at all. But I ended up not having trouble coming up with a list of five plus one honorable mention that I'll just get out of the way right now. My honorable mention of the year is the Maria's Gamesa cereal.
That is my number five.
Okay, wow. So we got that one done pretty quick. I just thought
it's good, right?
Yeah. It was a unique twist on the vanilla cereal genre, which is historically extremely boring. But here they managed to make it much more authentic and well browned and toasted and giving it that element of coziness that was sorely needed.
Sorry, it was actually my honorable mention too. I didn't realize I had type six. So yes, Scamesa is in the exact same
line so far.
Well, we're checking out. I mean, it's a very unique cereal. If you like a honeycomb, maybe with like a little bit of a twist on it, with some different flavors, a little bit of like anise and stuff that you don't normally get in, like very faint, like licorice flavor is what I was like. Maybe I was even imagining it. It's a very distinct cereal.
You might even call it articulate.
Articulate, you might say.
So I think for our main list, how about we alternate between a worst and a best? So start with the number five worst, go to number five best, and count it down that way so we finish on number one best. My number five worst cereal of the year was the Mishmash Sweet Mac and Mellow cereal. Not because it was particularly horrible, just because of the extreme missed potential, especially in regards to how much money I spent on this cereal. For $10, I should not have gotten a cereal that was almost completely devoid of memorable flavor at all. And I just think that because the other Mishmash flavor was so much better, this one really just is being, you know, flushed away to the annals of history.
If I have the same thing on my list at a different place, you think I should mention that now? Or do you think...
I think for the sake of numerical continuity, we can just note it when we get to it.
All right. I actually have a tie for four and five. Mm. It's the Malto Meal Key Lime Pie and Creamsicle cereals. They did a big summer push with these like really interesting fruit cereals, that stuff that you don't see a ton, especially like lime, a big lime flavor. and both the lime and the orange cereals were pretty forgettable. I mean, seemingly almost like fearful of tasting like the fruit that they are named after. Mm-hmm. The strawberry was a little more decent, so it avoided the list here, but I just found both of those two cereals like super underwhelming.
Yeah, the orange dreamsicle one especially, with my extremely fond memories of the Cap'n Crunch's orange cream pop crunch, did really let me down with its lack of potency.
Yeah.
Okay, my number five best cereal of the year is going to Great Value Kettle Corn cereal. This was a real surprise to me because I didn't expect to Great Value the Walmart store brand cereal to come out swinging with an original cereal flavor that was actually really good. But this one basically tasted like extra toasty corn pops, which, you know, is an extremely positive selling point for me.
My number five is Frosted Lemon Cheerios.
Number five.
I know. I'm not the biggest lemon guy. So that is like harming it. I can tell it's exceptionally well done though. It's refreshing. It's crisp. It's exactly as sweet as you want it to. Texture's great. The oats are a great compliment. It's just overall like a great eating experience. I'm not a big lemon guy, but even with that, I can recognize how good it is.
Wow. Well, I'll reserve my comments until later on this list. My number four worst cereal, and this was kind of an out of left field pick, but the OK Go Honey Bunches of Oats. It wouldn't surprise me if you don't remember this one at all, because the most significant thing about it is that Post got like a lawsuit from the band OK Go about it. Because this was their line of like to-go cereals that includes powdered milk that you add water to, and that was just a textural and flavorless nightmare. It just made everything so soggy, and then you had like all this white powder that didn't get fully mixed. Ooh. That's kind of gummy too, and like it takes a lot to ruin a cereal as good as Honey Bunches of Oats, but I think that kind of happened here.
Yeah, I already covered my four. It was tied.
Okay, gotcha. So my number four best cereal of 2023 goes to Maple Brown Sugar Chex. Another one that honestly wasn't super memorable just because it did everything right in a way that wasn't like super bombastic and loud and brazen about it, but it was still very warm, cozy, and sweet. And I think Maple Brown Sugar is a flavor profile that historically always leads to good cereals, and I've never really seen done in a bad way. And it was one of those Chex varieties that was like really almost not frosted but like glazed sort of, so it had a really satisfying crunch as well.
That was also my number four. Dan, we have the same number four, Maple Brown Sugar Chex.
After 99 episodes, our brains are starting to meld.
I know, what's the point? We just need to fuse. Very good. I mean, really, just really good. I think the only thing that keeps it from being higher is that there are already so many good Chex varieties. Mm-hmm. But this is well worth, you know, joining the pantheon. It's quite good.
I'm honestly not sure what your next three or best ones are going to be, though, so we'll have to get there. But my number three worst cereal of 2023 goes to the Malt-O-Meal Maple Bacon Donut cereal.
Oof, I didn't have that one.
It wasn't nearly as offensive as the Post Honey Bunches of Oats Maple Bacon Donut that they released for National Cereal Day several years back.
That was funky, man.
They definitely toned down the porky intensity of it, but the fact that there's any at all is a massive negative, and the fact that they sold this in like giant 2-pound bags is absolutely criminal, because I can't think of a single person who, even if they enjoyed the first bowl of it, would ever come back for a second, let alone like 30.
You just gotta imagine, for me, that the acid test is just, imagine dipping in milk and eating it, right? You dip a lemon in milk, it's like, huh, weird, okay. You dip some like brown sugar in milk, it's like, huh, I'm halfway to a cake. You dip bacon in milk, it's like, that's gonna be a pass. Like, I don't wanna consume that. Thank you. I'm gonna throw this away. mine was Sweet Mac and Mellow, for very much the same reasons that you felt. I was just, I feel like it was, I had a lot going for it, and it was like pretty close to, it's definitely original, which we celebrate on this show. It just, it wasn't quite there. And there's a big push behind it. I was even getting some like Facebook ads that seem professionally produced for it. Like, it doesn't seem like a lark. It seems like something they're really making a go at. And I really wish I enjoyed it more.
Yeah. The shape was super appealing and interesting, but it's a shame the flavor couldn't match up. Funny you mentioned it earlier, because my third best cereal of 2023 was the Malto Meal Strawberry Shortcake cereal.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
I really like strawberry cereals in general, and much like I said with the Blueberry Muffin Toasters, this was basically Strawberry Muffin Toasters, where they really amped up the creamy, sweet, you know, again, hyper-sweet sugar, strawberry flavor there, and it just, it honestly did taste like strawberry shortcake as a cereal, and it was great. It was especially for a summer release. It was very refreshing. Like eating a strawberry ice cream, as I recall how I described it.
My number three was, are we doing bad or good? Help me remember. Number three,
good.
Gingerbread Toast Crunch. I know it wasn't quite where we were hoping it would be. And I know we've looked forward to it a lot of times, but I've had a couple bowls of it since we've talked about it. And it's just still really solid. I mean, it's just like, it's a very delicious cereal to eat. It's not what I was hoping it would be, but I still really, really enjoy it. And think it could have been a lot worse, but not quite the like world ending number one I would have hoped for before I tried it.
It narrowly didn't make my list. I considered it, but if it had been like 10% more gingerbready or molassesy, it definitely would have secured a spot. So my number two worst cereal, not a surprise, and I'm guessing it's probably on your list, but Icy cereal. This was just a giant...
It's my number one, so let me just hop in with you here.
Yeah, this was a giant, like, chemical, borderline biohazardous misstep for the cereal aisle, where they... I mean, the flavor was already atomically potent for one thing. Like, you had this cherry and blueberry overwhelmingly bonk you over the noggin sort of flavor. And then they decided to add the mouth cooling effect, which, again, we celebrate innovation on this show, but that's one that needs to be locked and sealed and buried underground. That technology was not meant to be consumer grade and used in cereal. It's just unpleasant.
It's
to
horrible.
Have that feeling.
Stop using the mouth cooling thing, y'all. It's despicable. it reminded me, it was right up there with the snowball one from the year before, the elf thing, that elf monstrosity that's supposed to cool your mouth. Would you rather eat a bowl of this or Honey Bunches of Oats?
Oh man.
Or Cinefuego Toast Crunch.
Oh wow, that's like the unholy trinity of cereals right there. I think of all of those, I honestly probably would eat Icy cereal first, just because the mouth-numbing effect at least neutralizes the flavor from your mouth by design versus the other ones you have to live with.
Yeah, truly one of the worst cereals I've ever had.
And your number two worst?
My number two is the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown.
Okay, that was my number one.
Okay, perfect. It's not a good cereal, obviously, but it's also so emblematic of like everything that is wrong with licensed cereal, which like... licensing goes back with cereal as far as anything. Like it doesn't make you a purist to think that you shouldn't have licensed cereals, right? Licensed cereals are all over the gamut. Most are forgettable and some are good. And this is just the laziest, stupidest, like blandest. I mean, to have something like pumpkin listed in your thing, right? And pumpkin is also like one of the hot flavors of the past few years, right? Everybody likes pumpkin spice stuff. To just make a generic, oh man, I hate Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. It is really, I find it really like emblematic of everything that's wrong with cereal.
Yeah, you nailed it. It's just the poster child for lazy, uninspired cereals. Just to be clear, it's not a pumpkin flavored cereal. It is a vanilla flavored cereal, and barely even vanilla flavored at that, if I might say. It's just, I don't know, so painful. And I bet General Mills is going to hear this, and then we're going to get like Charlie Brown Reese's Puffs next year instead, because they're like not even going to try anymore.
Yeah, they're just quitting. Yeah.
Okay, number two favorite cereal of the year goes to Great Value Strawberry Lemonade Cereal. This was another huge surprise from Great Value. I can't believe they made my top five list twice. This was just so juicy, like the juiciest cereal. I'll just say straight up that my number one is Frosted Lemon Cheerios. And I mean, it was a big year for strawberry and citrus, it seems. Because, I mean, I liked Frosted Lemon Cheerios better overall because it had that really good Cheerios base grain. It was light, refreshing, authentically flavored, and a perfect summer refreshment as a cereal. Great Value Strawberry Lemonade is almost the conceptual antithesis of that, but it still does extremely artificial and extremely strong fruit flavor the right way, where this is immersively flavored. It's not offensively chemically fake like the icy cereal was. Don't get me wrong, it's definitely fake, but it's fake in a pleasant way, which is, I don't know the food science that goes into straddling that line, but Great Value certainly did it right.
Yeah, Great Value has some killers, some absolute killers this year. In fact, my number two is a Great Value cereal. Apple Fritter.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a surprise. Yeah,
I love apple fritters, and I really enjoyed this one. It isn't quite where I'd hope. What I love is a version of this that has a little bit of like raisin flavor in it, as weird as that sounds. But like, I love an apple fritter. It has some like dried fruit in there. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to see another crack at this, but like, I really dug it. I thought apple fritter was surprisingly pretty yummy.
Hmm. Okay, well, I said my number one. What is your number one then?
Well, my number one is going to be kettle corn. You highlighted it. I just found it so like, I mean, in the bowl, it was great. It's one of the best like dry eats I've ever had. And I don't like calling cereal dry eats. And I'm just realizing that as I've said it out loud. But like, I can't tell you how many times I busted out a box of these while I was watching TV or whatever. They're just like, it's great to snack on. It's a delicious like little hint of saltiness, which a lot of cereals are like scared of employing. It's got a tiny hint of that. It's great. I thought it was just fantastic. I think it's a great cereal. And I hope they stick with it.
Wow. Yeah. I think we can decisively say that Great Value and Walmart were the big winners of 2023. For
Great
cereal.
Value. They had a great year, I'd say.
And lemons, but mostly and Great lemons. Value. Let's see if they can continue that momentum in the new year.
Let's see if we can too, Dan. You know, let's try to keep it up this year. Let's keep these good vibes. Let's have an even better 2024.
That's a good New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
A 2 years
resolution. Just to do better.
2 years resolution. I'm going to go with that.
2 years resolution. Out of curiosity, do you have one cereal on the horizon that you're really looking forward to?
Let's see. What's hitting stores right now? I wish they did like the Marvel movie approach where they just show you their cereal roadmap for the next like 5 years.
So it's like it's like other people don't take it as seriously as we do, man. Even the company's making it.
I mean, I'm definitely very fascinated by this s'mores, Golden Grahams s'mores cereal, and really want to know what that chocolate graham piece will taste like. Yeah. But the filled cereal maniac in me is very excited for the loaded line of cereals.
Yeah, that Cinnamon Toast Crunch loaded, stuff like that.
The Trix loaded and the Cocoa Puffs loaded as well. Oh, yeah. What about you?
I feel like I've seen so many that I'm, like, excited to check out. I'm, like, spiraling now. I guess the s'mores is way up there. I don't have like a list in front of me, this which is making it a little bit
I see you as hard. A Cap'n Crunch's sea berry crunch type of guy.
I was just looking at that. I think that could be really good too, so we'll have to say. And there's also going to be Cinefuego Toast Crunch cereal bars, so we got that to look forward to.
Yeah, what a joy.
Folks, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you've enjoyed yourself, because we've certainly enjoyed playing host to you here. Dan, who else do we owe gratitude to?
We'd like to thank Chris Zabriskie for our opening theme of The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow, Bria Davis for our amazing podcast branding, as well as M. Loper and Samuel Rarden for designing our Empty Bowl merchandise.
Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for taking the time here. Be gentle with yourself this week and the week following. And be sure to join us again next time for the Empty Bowl. Until that time, I'm Justin McElroy. And as Dan Gubert always says at the end of every episode,
don't forget to drink 99 bottles of milk off the wall for 99 episodes.
Fantastic.